The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
They come up with a game plan and you just do it. You just, that's what you're going to know. You just have to just listen to the corner, listen to their voices and do what they do. Boxers say it's like a computer game. They're playing a computer game. I'm just the operator in it, just doing what they're telling me to do. And I just have to do my best and just listen as much as I can. I'm happy in my performance, but I want to progress on and progress on.
And that's Belfast boxer Aidan Walsh, who's now guaranteed a medal, and lots of Olympic news overnight, and of course the other sport as well, including the retirement of Galway hurling legend Joe Canning from Intercounty. And of course we've got the second Lions test. Owen Sheen of Off the Ball is joining me now. We're in the Lansdowne Kenmare. He's in Marconi House, I hope. Owen, good morning.
I am indeed, Pat. Good morning to you.
Now, first of all, the Olympic news overnight. Another medal guaranteed. It's bronze at the moment. Could be better.
Absolutely, it could be. Aidan Walsh beat his Mauritius opponent, Mervyn Clare, this morning. Pretty comprehensively, to be quite honest with you. The first and second round in particular, he had found his range perfectly. The Mauritius opponent had no hope of getting inside him and actually landing significant blows. Aidan Walsh's reach, as he said, like executing almost like a video game. He knew exactly what to do to coast to victory. It means that all four provinces have now been represented in the medals already, and it's three consecutive days with medal wins for Ireland. Sunday morning, he goes again. It's the same morning that Kurt Walker will be fighting in his quarterfinal. So it's a super Sunday, really, for the Irish boxers.
Yeah. I was watching his fight, and he has a Muhammad Ali style. He drops his guard almost completely at times and then moves in with that incredibly long reach. Very impressive performance. Now, Kelly Harrington also impressed?
Yeah, she was, I guess, cold and calculated and cruel almost in her destruction of her Italian opponent. I think maybe there's a little bit of paranoia still hanging over from Rio and the boxer's fortunes there. But other than that, if you're looking at this in the cold light of day, there was no problems whatsoever for Kelly Harrington. Again, like Walsh, she found her range pretty early on in the first round and didn't look back whatsoever. So she is going to be going right for gold as the weekend progresses and into next week, I should say, because she was the one boxer beforehand that we could really pin our hopes on. The great situation now is that Ireland have two other boxers in medal position, or at least two for hoping for medal position alongside Kelly Harrington. So the 2012 tally of six medals that Ireland clocked up is well within sight, because when it comes to volume, not gold medals now, but volume of medals entirely, that is still Ireland's best ever tally at a single Olympic Games. So they've got three guaranteed so far, and there will be more to come because the golfers are going well. Reese McLenaghan is still going to go into a final, and who knows what else might happen. So a very positive Olympic game so far.
But disappointment on the track. We had Nadia Power, Louise Shannon and Shifra Clary-Butner. They were on the track in the heats of the 800 and unfortunately none of them made it. And in fact, they didn't give, you know, personal bests or anything. So something going on there. Maybe the heat, maybe, you know, tired. I don't know.
Competition at this level, I think, is new to all of them. They're bolters to the team, I think it's fair to say. If the Olympics had happened last year, we might not be familiar with these three people. So the Games being in 2021 has benefited them with their inclusion in it. They won't feel that they benefited from anything today. Nadia Power in particular was particularly disappointed. But there are big championships to come over the next couple of years, and they're still very much in the upward trajectory. We can't forget as well, Pat, that the 800 metres is a ridiculously competitive event. It is a properly worldwide game. And to see any of them qualify out of the heats would have been a huge achievement. So onwards and upwards from all three perspectives.
You would have expected, though, 202, 203, 204, but we were looking at 208, 209. Anyway, great news for Thomas Barr, because he was in the heat with Karsten Warholm of Norway, who is the superstar of the hurdles, and he came second to him, which is fantastic, and advances.
And he was running right beside him as well. So I'm not sure, is that a terrifying position to be in, or is it a great position to be in, because you know exactly how the guy who is going to win the race is going, and you can just try and hang on his shoulder as best you possibly can. But he was good, Tom. Like he had to kick on really on the home stretch to ensure that he actually did come second. It was looking a bit hairy midway through the race, but I think maybe he kind of got a bit of a wake up call, and his time of 49.02 is good, but he'll probably need to cut a full second off if he's going to qualify for the final. If the 800 metres in the women's division is competitive, the 400 metre men's hurdles has become just an array of world-class talent, with Rye Benjamin and Samba as well going into the semi-finals, and they'll be all hoping for medals. As you say, Carson Warholm still probably the favourite. If Tom Barr manages to get to the final in that company, he'll be doing very well.
All right, and lots of Olympic action still to come. In the pool, we've got someone today.
We do indeed, and I think that I guess maybe we're looking at the swimming pool at the moment. If we're looking for, I guess, Irish links, there's been another medal for Charles Haughey's grandniece from representing Hong Kong. She won another silver medal a little bit earlier on. But just to briefly run through some of the other Olympic events, Annalise Murphy finished 40th in race 10 earlier on in the laser radial, which means she finishes 18th overall. That will not be good enough to get her into the medal race. Meanwhile, Rob Dixon and Sean Waddell, who are in the 49er class of sailing, were 9th in race 9 and are 14th overall. So they've got three races tomorrow to try and make it up to the top 10. But the big medal hope that we weren't sure whether or not it would be a realistic hope are the golfers, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. McIlroy with a round of 66, Lowry with a round of 65. They're both on 7 under par going into round 3, 4 strokes off the lead. There's been a couple of big name movers today. Xander Schauffele is now in the lead for the United States of America on 11 under par. You've got Hideki Matsuyama on 8 under par, and you've got Paul Casey up there in the leaderboard as well. Victor Hovland is another big name, and Cameron Smith too. So the leaderboard is really spicing up, but Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry could be on the podium come the end of the weekend.
And that will be interesting to see what reaction Rory McIlroy gets from certain quarters. If that happens, we will park that for the moment. Lots of GAA action. The Leinster final, Dublin Kildare, the Ulster final, Monaghan Tyrone. We've got the Galway races continuing, and of course the Lions second test. So much to look forward to this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be an unbelievable weekend. I think really in the football, everybody expects Dublin to beat Kildare and finally give us that kick that maybe the Dubs haven't shown so far this year. Monaghan against Tyrone in the Ulster final is going to be an absolute cracker. Really hard to call that one. The hurling, as ever, similarly hard to call, especially Tipperary against Waterford. Can Tip come back after that second half collapse against Limerick in the Munster final? Dublin play Cork in the other quarter final, and maybe that's the one fixture of the weekend where in hurling you can say maybe Cork have a proper edge against the Dubs. The Lions then has been dominated completely by Razzy Erasmus and his comments about the referee. He did an hour long video that was posted on Vimeo yesterday giving out about the refereeing decisions, putting the pressure on this week's officials. I think it's fair to say there's been a lot of people who've come down hard on Razzy, and I think World Rugby won't be best pleased by the sounds he's been making. But it just adds to the spice before tomorrow. And if you go back to the last time they played in the second test, 2009, it was possibly the most brutal game of rugby union ever played. I wonder, will the comments from Razzy Erasmus actually add to the intensity of tomorrow afternoon's game?
I've no doubt it will. I'm looking forward to it enormously. Owen Sheen of Off the Ball, thank you very much. We'll have news next.